Hello, me again. My name is still Anne, and I'm still very much an alcoholic and an addict. It turns out I'm not going to be cured by the end of this either. Oh no, oh no. All right, step four, the dreaded step four. Oh, it's funny because, for me, I dreaded it because it meant I actually have to do some work. You know what I mean? My factory default setting is lazy. So I was just like, ugh, you know. But one of the things that I hear, one of the other things that is quite common with why people don't want to do a step four because they think it's painful, and it's going to bring up a lot of the past, a lot of pain, a lot of anger, and shame and guilt, and it does, it unearths it all, you know. But the good news is, I mean, step four isn't let's just sit here and point out how much of a piece of shit you are. That's not the purpose of step four. The purpose of step four is clearing ourselves from what is blocking us to our higher power. Now, we've already admitted in step one that we are an alcoholic and an addict. We've already admitted that. So we know we need this program because otherwise we're just going to go on to the bitter end, right? Step two, we've already established that we've come to believe that there's a power that can and will restore us to sanity, right? Step three, I've already handed my will over. My will and my life, I've turned it over to a care of a loving God that I understand already. And then I come to step four and I'm like, oh no, oh, you're all right. No. If you've already done one, two, and three, you know what? You've already turned your life over to God. So you should already have an understanding and a belief that He's got you. Whenever I get to step four with women that I'm working with, I always turn around and say this: it can't hurt you. You are not reliving. You are remembering. It cannot harm you anymore. And by doing this work, by going through this process, you will take the power out of any further control that it may have held over from up until this point. You know? So when we get into in the big book, it's page chapter at the beginning of halfway through how it works, towards the end of how it works, right? And it says, next we launched into a course of vigorous action. Oh, action, don't like that, I'm lazy member. The first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was vital and crucial step, it would have little permanent effect unless followed at once by strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things which have been blocking us, or blocking us from who and what, or God. Right, so I've got some visuals, yay. So here's the first picture. So this is a non-addict and this is God. As you can see, there's a pretty clear pathway from addict to God. Okay, nice and simple. This is me before my step four. Now, all these circles are shame, guilt, resentment, fear, my sexual conduct, my harms, my secrets, all them horrible little things that I want to keep hold of. I cannot get through to God, nor can God get through to me. I have blocked myself off from God. Now, it's okay because I didn't know that I was doing that. I didn't intentionally do that when I became with this illness, which I believe I was born with, but you know. So I didn't intentionally do that. So why do I inventory? So that I can reach this. This is me the first time I go through the work, okay? The first time I do my step four, I clear away the wreckage. I clear away and I get a path to me and God, okay? That's what I'm doing. I want to be able to not only have God reach me, but I need to be able to reach God too. It's a two-way street. It's a relationship that I've already started forming from the moment I came into the rooms. So this is me cementing my relationship, you know. So the more I do the work and continue to do the work, yeah, I pick up less resentments and it's a lot easier for me to get to God and God to get to me, okay? They're me visuals. So when I think about it, so it's almost like, so when we think of it like, so it says house cleaning. You ever like cleaned out the cupboard under the stairs or your shed or your garage or, you know, one of them ones that you put off for ages? And halfway through, you get to this stage, it's worse than what it was when you started, and you look around and go, why the fuck did I start this? Yeah? But you've got to get it all out. You've got to clear it all away. Work out what you're keeping, what you're putting back, where you're going to home it, all this kind of thing. This is what it is. Our brains are like a hoarder's home. They're packed up to the tops and we're hardly using any of it. You know what I mean? And this is our house clearing. This is us getting in and really getting in there. And the beautiful part is we ain't doing it alone. We ain't doing it alone. I always say to my women when they're doing their step four, this is how we do it. This is what you've got to go away and do. But guess what? I'm still on this phone. There's still a fellowship around you. There are still people. So if you're sitting there and you're having a moment where you're going, oh, this is too much. I don't want to relive my abuse as a child. I don't want to go through that all over again. I'm not reliving it. I'm remembering it. Okay? My abuser can no longer harm me. They're not going to re-abuse me all over again. I just got to write it down. And that in itself is powerful when I realise, you know. So when we like, you know, and in 12 and 12, yeah, it says, we wish to look squarely at the unhappiness this has caused others and ourselves. By disclosing our emotional deformities, disclosing what our emotional deformities are, we can move towards correction. Without a willing and persistent effort of to do this, there can be little sobriety or contentment for us. So I might want to swerve this one, but it's really important that I do, because I'm looking at my behaviours. See, what I realise is that a lot of what I've done up until this point is things that I put in place, set up from childhood, in order to protect myself. You know, I'm very aggressive. Because I don't want you to be aggressive to me, so I like to get in there first. I'm going to tell you to fuck off before you fuck me off. But now as an adult, and now that I'm working in recovery, I now understand that no longer serves a purpose to me. It's no longer beneficial to me. And where once it was like alcohol, it was once my solution, it is now my downfall. So this, my behaviours that I created in my past, were once there to protect me, to preserve me, because I knew no better. But now they're causing not only me harm, but those around me harm. It's causing me to have more shame and more guilt. It's causing me to dislike myself even more. And it's blocking me off from what will save me, God. So I need to undo that. And as I go through that process and this, that, and the other, I start to realize that, you know what? I can learn to forgive. I don't look at what I could have done or what I should have done back then in my fifth column. I do it with five column inventory. I look at what I could do to turn the situation over to God, or what I could do if I were faced with that situation again. I'm not rewriting history. It happened. I did what I did and I said what I said. I cannot undo what has been done. I cannot undo what has already been done. But I can learn from my mistakes and I can learn to not make the same mistakes again. That's why I do this. We are moving forward with correction. Doesn't mean we're moving forward with perfection. We're going to mess it up time and time again, but we're learning. We're growing. For a lot of us, this is the first time we've ever done anything like this in our lives. So what makes you think you're going to bam, you're going to get it straight away? There ain't no bibbidi-bobbidi-boot moment. This isn't magic. Like I said, God ain't a genie. You don't rub that lamp. Please make me amazing. Please make me amazing. Boop. All of a sudden, you know, just this amazing, wonderful person. You know what I mean? My ego likes to tell me that, but it's not true. It's not true. So when I was going through my inventory, I found it very hard because at first I was very like, yeah, I'm justified in all my anger. They were wankers. They were mean. They were horrible. Poor me. And then I realized that, you know, that if I sit with that attitude, it's going to be poor me, another down drink, because what's the point, you know? My sexual inventory was very powerful for me as well. And, you know, as a woman, it's hard because we do have an awful lot of stigma in this, that, and the other. And I suppose that's where a lot of my shame and guilt was attached. But I had shame and guilt before I even ever had sex for the first time because, I was abused as a child. It gets transferred onto us. So, but by the time I finished writing it, I cried. I had this really beautiful moment. I cried. I absolutely sobbed because I realized looking at this woman in the book, I realized that me and her were no longer the same person. And when I looked back at my resentments, I realized that me and that woman were no longer the same person. We had changed. I had changed. I hadn't even completed the steps, but I knew already that I was no longer that same person. that I was going to go out of my way to A, not behave in the same way, but B, not allow myself to be treated in the same way, you know. And that was really, really powerful for me. So when I got to share it, and I'm not going to go into step five because that's all. Guilt of me beating my children, because that's the kind of mum I used to be. That's the beat my kids, you know, and I would rather die than anyone know that. You know, all this shame and guilt, all of a sudden it was like I've been holding on to it for years and I just let go, slowly but surely, like holding on to heavy shopping, you know, like you've got the lines in your hands. It takes a little while for your fingers to fully open out, but they do. They do. It's beautiful and it's powerful. And I'm going to leave with some advice. Do not leave your inventory on the bed. I left my inventory on the bed while I was in the middle of working it, and my daughter came along and found my sex inventory. She found it, she read it, and there was a part in it where she thought that one of the people in there, considering that, you know, I mean, I was offended that she thought this of me, but considering the rest of my sexual inventory, I can see why she thought it. There was a person on there whose name was Michael. Her ex-boyfriend was also Michael. It was not the same Michael. However, she thought it was, and decided to tell her dad, my husband. Sexual inventory was read. Needless to say, that was not my best of Christmases. So, but it was difficult and it was hard, and I was very, very upset. And I was sitting there and I was like, fuck the program. This is shit. Da, 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 this, that, and the other. But then I remembered at the end of the day, that was my conduct. And I believe now that it was meant to be found, because it meant that there was a lot of air cleared between him and I. Do you know what I mean? Need to be found and read. And with that, I will leave it there.